know him to be a wonderful Savior? Well, if you do, then he ought to be, he is, all that thrills your soul. Shall we look to the Lord in word of prayer? Heart of gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be assembled together again this evening in thy presence with your people. We just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless our time together around your word as we look into it. Open our hearts and give us understanding so that we might know how to better serve you and please you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. We're beginning to look at particularly verses 3 through 5 this evening. The point number 2 that we will be beginning this evening actually will goes down to verse 14, actually. But we'll begin this evening by looking at verses 3 through 5, and we've read these verses before when we read verses 1 through 5. But I want you to think tonight as we read verses 3 through 5, think about what God has done for Jerusalem. As we read these verses, think about what he says about the nation's birth, about their nativity, and from whom they came. Verse 3, and say, that is, Ezekiel was to say to Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. What a pity. What a shame. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. So we said this point is to consider what thy God hath done for thee. That Jerusalem was made to know her abominations, what we looked at previously. And particularly the abominable ingratitude she had been guilty of. Generally, as we've looked at the book of Ezekiel, and we've thought about God's judgment upon Israel and Judah, and for her sins. But was not the cause and the reason for her sins, was it not because she lacked gratitude to God for all the great things that He'd done for her? Is not our sin as children of God, is it not because we lack gratitude for the things that God has done before us? And because she lacked this gratitude, because she had ingratitude, it was necessary that she should be put in remembrance of what great things God had done for her. And so, beginning with verse 3, that is where God is taking her to. Taking her to remember from whence she came and what God did for her. When nobody else pitied her or would do for her. Considering what great things God has done, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, in chapter 106. Psalms 106. And look with me down here at verse 21. Speaking concerning Israel, concerning Jerusalem, they forgot, in verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And that's where this is going to go to. And we'll explain that as we come to it in these verses. She was little. She was born. She was cast out. She was cast out into the wilderness. She was cast out into Egypt. And Egypt is where God saw her. God had compassion on her. God loved her. God threw His skirt over her and did wonderful and marvelous things for her. Go with me now to the book of Deuteronomy, keeping in mind what we've read here in Psalms 106. But Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verse 22. And this he said to Israel. Moses says to Israel, "And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. You see, in these things that are being rehearsed in Deuteronomy, these things, they were to bring their, God's delivering them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, the great things he did for them in the wilderness. They were to rehearse these things continually from generation to generation with their children and their children's children and on and on. Why? So that they might remember what great things God had done for them in delivering them. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, and look with me at verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. There he says, the people of the land, the inhabitants of the land that I'm taking you to into, the land of Canaan, you shall not be afraid of them, because you're going to remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. You don't have to be afraid of anyone, because I'm going to do the same thing to them, your enemies, as I did to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. Also, turn with me back to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 74. And we'll read verses 13 and 14 here. In rehearsing with them in the Psalms, they said, thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You see what he's saying here in these verses? He's calling Pharaoh that dragon. God defeated that dragon in the sea, that sea monster. And he defeated the Egyptian army, Leviathan, sea monster, in the seas. And gave him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. The children of Israel, the next morning, they were all dead corpses on the seashore, on the sand. And they pilfered of them and took of the spoils of their enemies. God gave it into their hands. In Psalms 135, Psalms 135, and look with me at verses 8 and 9 of this psalm. He said, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. God destroyed them all. That's what he did for Israel when he set his love upon her, when he had compassion on her. She had been as a newborn babe whose umbilical cord had not been cut. She'd been tossed into the wilderness, tossed into Egypt. She had been mistreated there in Egypt. God said, I saw thee in thy blood. And when I saw thee in thy blood, he had compassion on her. Down another verse or two says, and in the time of love, he loved her. And he did great things for her. When no man cared for her, when no one cared for her, no nation, no country cared for her. You see, she needs to be put in remembrance of the things that God did for her. And how he had compassion on her, and how he loved her. You see, she'd done wickedly. To this point, Ezekiel's day, she had done wickedly. She had done wickedly towards God. And so, to magnify his grace, in these verses, she is to made to know her low state and vileness of her beginnings, her origins, and from what poor beginnings God had raised her from. Oh, how unworthy she was. How unworthy she was of his favor. How unworthy she was of the honor that he had put upon her. In these verses, Jerusalem is here compared to an outcast child. An outcast child. Born of low parentage. Born of low parentage and then abandoned. The mother herself had no care, no affection, no concern for the infant. We look at, first of all, in verse 3, we look at the nation's birth. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth, thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. From your very beginnings, you had the spirit, you had the disposition of a Canaanite. Who were the Canaanite? Who were the Canaanite? Do you know who the Canaanites were? Well, they were the descendants of Canaan. Do you know who Canaan was? Canaan was the fourth son of Ham. Do you know who Ham was? Ham was the son of Noah, one of the sons of Noah. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis, just to get this in our minds. The book of Genesis in chapter 9. Verse 18 and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Now, as I said, Canaan was the fourth son of Ham. Why do you think here it makes importance to name Canaan, but not the other three? Well, Canaan is important as to Israel, as to the plan and purpose of God. Verse 19, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, here again, make special note to mention Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their face were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Shem and Japheth were honorable. They sought to cover their father's nakedness. But old Ham was wicked. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And Canaan was. In this curse, it lines out that he's to be a servant to Shem. He's to be a servant to Japheth. Go over to the 10th chapter now. I want to take this just a little further here. And we're dealing with Ham and his descendants, and we're going to narrow it down to Canaan. But notice that all these mentioned back in our text, Canaanite was a Canaanite. Thy father was a Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. Notice where they came from. We already know where Canaan come from. But verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sapta, and Rama, and Sabetha, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah and Rezer between Nineveh and Calah. The same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludan and Anam and Lebim and Naphtim and Parusim and Kashrim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Anyone know who Heth was? Come on. Heth was the father of the Hittites. Who did he come from? Canaan. He was the father of the Hittites. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife, passed, and he sought a burial place for her in the cave of Machpelah, which was owned by the sons of Heth. One particular son of Zohar owned that cave. So he went to the Hittites to buy a burial place for Sarah. So that's Heth. That's who Heth is. And the Jebusite and the Amorite and the Girgashite. So here we got the Amorites coming from Canaan as well. And the Arvadite and the Zemarite and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Now notice this. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboiim, even unto Lassa. Five cities that were destroyed when God rained down fire and brimstone and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. For what? For sodomy. For homosexualism. For bestiality. And every other kind of sin you can name. This was the descendants of Canaan. Is it any wonder? Think about the sin of Canaan's father, Ham. And his descendants became guilty of the same. You see. So that's a little bit of history on the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite. So let us get back to Ezekiel. Now, said, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. How so? Well, the patriarchs, where did they dwell? They dwelt in Canaan. God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Well, we'll be reading that. I'll just show you that they were strangers in the land of Canaan. They were there, but strangers and sojourners. They didn't own land. Abraham had to go buy a burying place. for Sarah. Turn with me to the book of, back to the book of Genesis in chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And let's look at verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. They dwelt at Haran. Haran was in Mesopotamia, lie between the city of Canaan and the river Euphrates. So they hadn't gone very far out of Ur of the Chaldees. They were still in the Mesopotamia land when they dwelt at Haran. But they were headed to where? They were headed to the land of Canaan. Now I look at chapter 12 and verse 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Into the land of Canaan. They've arrived at the land of Canaan. Now turn with me to chapter 13. The end of chapter 12, they had journeyed from there. They had journeyed from Bethel, the house of God. They had journeyed down into Egypt because of the famine that had come into the land. And they shouldn't have gone there, but they did. But while he was there, God gave him great herds and so forth. But Lot followed him there. Now notice in chapter 13, and in verse 12, they've come back in to the land of Canaan. And look at verse 12 of chapter 13. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Those cities of the plain were what? Inhabited by Canaanites. Well, Abram was in the land of Canaan, but Sodom and Gomorrah was there. And Sodom and Gomorrah, those five cities, did wickedly before the Lord, if you read down in these verses, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. So Abram's in the land of Canaan. Look with me at chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Okay, so he's been there in the land of Canaan already 10 years. That's the timeline of when Sarah gave to Abram Hagar and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. One more passage in this regard. Chapter 17. And look with me at verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. In other words, he was just a wandering through it. He owned no land. They're in the land of Canaan. All the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Well, I can't believe time went this quick already. We're out of time. We'll have to look at thy father, an Amorite, and his mother, a Hittite, next week, and continue on in this study of Ezekiel chapter 16.